26. In ruins. As they charged towards the pitiful bulwarks and dugouts before Radium Gate, the Imperial fists hit their flank hard from the left. What was already havoc deteriorates into a savage running melee in the smoke and the howling cyclonic filth. Bodies crash into bodies, blades swing and smash, and armor buckles. The liquid mud is a foot deep and splashes high as bodies topple into it. An Imperial fist with twin axes, so doused in blood his yellow armor looks more like the plate worn by the Ninth, drives through the wheeling mayhem, removing heads and limbs. The Neverborn are screeching in the smoke pall. Bolters bark and bang. The Imperial fist, roaring, takes down Ither Clathis of Second Company with a blow that sounds like a sledgehammer hitting tin, and sends blood and fragments of bone into the air in a stupendous arcing fountain. He knocks Kaltus of Second aside with a glancing strike, then comes at Tyro Gamex of Third, gore stringing from his blades. Another figure blocks his path, intercepting him with an impact like two armored transports colliding head-on. Ezekiel Abaddon, first captain of the Sons of Horus, wrenches out his blade. His foe is dead. Fafnir Ran is dead. Abaddon crouches in the steaming mud and tears off the corpse's helmet. No, not Ran, after all. An Imperial fist, one of the Seventh, but not Ran. In the confusion of the melee, he thought it was, and the man fought well, which seemed to confirm Abaddon's identification. But it's not him. That trophy is yet to be taken. Abaddon rises. Sons of Horus, giants in dirt-sullied plate, explode through the smoke past him, splashing forward, charging the line. Bolters open up, sustained fire. The smoke jumps with flashes and shadows. The weak, improvised defense of Radium Gate, mounted by the Imperial fists, is about to collapse as fast as the Gilded Walk resistance. Dawn's master touch is gone. They are a shambles, rudderless, lacking cohesion, lacking strategy, reduced to impulsive and helplessly reactive efforts of repulse. Abaddon has lost count of the figures in yellow, red, and white he has butchered today. There is shame in this. It is not the victory he dreamed of, or the triumph he desired. Too much has been accomplished by infernal processes, by startling Neverborn atrocities that have exploded out of polluted darkness and thin air, or sprouted from the buckling ground. Not enough, not nearly enough, has been done the way he was taught. He may mock the Praetorians for their loss of military precision, but where is his? Abaddon is a warrior. He wanted to take the palace with militant perfection and exemplary soldiering. But this is no longer, in any way, a soldier's war. He is sick at heart, sick to the gut. They have brought horror and become horror. This was not the way his father ever practiced, and it is not the victory his father promised. Abaddon halts, lowering his blade. The Sons of Horus continue to stream past him on either side, bellowing in glee, giving themselves entirely to the weaponized insanity of the Fall of Terror. Despoilers all. Let them finish it. Let them take the gate and dismember the defenders. He starts to trudge back up the broken slope, through the choking waft of ash, towards what passes for their forward command position. The vox clicks in his ear again. It's been doing that for half an hour, longer, perhaps. Not the incoherent back-chatter of the mob, a signal. Someone trying to contact him long-range. But the channels are washed out, or jammed, and each time he's tried to answer it, there's been nothing but garbled sounds and white noise. At the line, where the Sons of Horus's spiked banners are pitched like the lank sails of funeral barges, the Mechanicum of the Warsteads are arriving, leading columns of barbaric killing engines and rumbling Saurian breacher rams. Clayne Pent, fifth disciple of Null, stands aloft on the gibbet balcony of a vast tusked war engine, his limbs writhing like some manic conductor at a rostrum, orchestrating the advance and deployment via new spheric gesture. I ate one tag of Epta, motions to Abaddon from her palanquin.
"Fast, Captain,"
she says, a human mouth framed and crowned by augmetic sensor blisters.
"There is a repeated signal."
"I'm aware," he growls.
"You do not respond?"
"My system is jammed."
"Then avail yourself of my devices,"
she invites. Master Vok's instruments are rolled forward in the acid rain. Adepts fuss and simper around them, cleaning dials. Abaddon takes a proffered plug and connects it to his suit sockets.
"Abaddon," he says.
"Ezekiel, at last!"
It is Argonis. He sounds scared.
"Are you still orbital?"
Abaddon asks, puzzled.
"Yes, yes, I've been trying to reach you, trying for hours."
"Just speak, Equerry."
"The voids, Abaddon, the voids!"
"What of them?"
"He's lowered them. He's lowered the voids."
"What voids? Who has?"
Abaddon asks.
"Lupercal, Abaddon. Lupercal has lowered the void shields on the vengeful spirit."
Abaddon pauses. Toxic rain and liquid mud trickle off his visor.
"Are you still there, Ezekiel?"
"Say that again," says Abaddon.